You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. The message is entitled, Meeting Jesus on Your Journey, and it's taken from the scripture passage, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. The sermon was given on March 27, 2005, at the First Baptist Church of Branson in Branson, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Well, turn, please, if you will, to the book of Luke. Luke. I mean, what were you thinking? Those of you who are visiting with us, we've only been in the book of Ephesians for about a year now. Our people think it's 5 years, but turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. It was in the heat of the late afternoon. The road was very dusty and somewhat hot. Sounds of a gentle rustling breeze and the chirping of birds in nearby trees were oblivious to the two solitary figures that trudged somewhat aimlessly down that long dusty road. Jesus had been crucified and buried. And now, 3 days later, these two lonely disciples were trudging home to an emptiness and a loss of direction, making their way toward Emmaus. Emmaus was about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. The two disciples were Cleopas and an unnamed disciple. Jesus had, in the early morning, already appeared to Mary Magdalene and also to the other women. But these two disciples had only heard the report that the tomb was empty and that the angels had announced that Jesus had risen. They should have been singing, but instead they were sad. They had a heartache instead of a hallelujah. What was meant to be the ground of their victory had become the cause of their vacuum. And what should have been a reason for delight had become their despair. You might be a modern disciple on the Emmaus Road today. I believe it would do us good on this Easter Sunday for us to take a walk toward Emmaus and on the way to pass through the scriptures to see how God wants to speak to us. And on our journey today, it might be that we too, along with these two disciples, might meet our risen Jesus. Keep your Bibles open, please. No need to stand again right now. Let me read the first 8 verses to you. Keep your Bibles open and keep your outline handy that's in your bulletin. We're going to be making reference to an elongated passage today, but to begin with, we'll just look at the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 24, where it says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, these two men said to them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Let me show you four things from this chapter today. The first thing I want us to see is that he opens the tomb. God opens the tomb. Just 3 days prior to this, the disciples were left in chaos and catastrophe as they watched their king, their Messiah, breathe his last and was taken down from the cross and was laid in a tomb. Look at verse 1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. So early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. Now go down to verse 10. We didn't read that, but let's understand who it was that was there. It was Mary Magdalene, verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. So upon their arrival, they didn't know how they were going to get in. They didn't know how they were going to anoint the body of Jesus Christ for his burial. They didn't know how that was going to take place. But when they got there, God had obviously already gone before them. And the stone, that huge stone, which had been placed in front of that tomb, had already been rolled away. Now look at verse 3. When they entered in, it says they did not find the body of Jesus Christ. Now look at verses 4 and 5. It says it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men, we know that these were two angels, stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their face to the earth, they posed this question. So these two angels posed this question to these ladies that had come to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I love this question that they pose. They say, why seek ye the what? Living among the dead. Now look at verse 6. They make this announcement. He is not here, but is risen. He is not here, but is risen. And then they say, remember how he had communicated that to you while he was yet speaking and teaching and preaching in Galilee. You see, God opens the tomb just as Jesus said would happen. Folks, that is what Easter is all about. Easter is an empty tomb. Now, I've been to Israel. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to the Garden tomb. As a matter of fact, I've been there on an Easter Sunday morning. And I can say to you, firsthand experience, he is not there. He is risen indeed. Come on, go ahead. Choir, you did a great job of ministry a while ago. Thank you so much. Isn't it wonderful to serve a risen Savior? Isn't it? Now, you're in Branson, Missouri, where you have vacancy signs and no vacancy signs everywhere all the time. But I want to announce to you that there is flashing in brilliant neon lights above the tomb in Jerusalem, vacancy. 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 The tomb is open, and the tomb is empty. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only does God open the tomb, but he opens their eyes. Now, we pick up the story that same day, later in the afternoon, as these two disciples are walking toward Emmaus. Now, let's pick it up with verse 13. And we're going to read an elongated passage to get the remainder of that story. But beginning with verse 13, where it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk, and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Are you a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said, What things? And they said to him, Well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And so beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village where they went. And he made as though as he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And so he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. All right, go back to verse 14. Where it says that they're talking together, these two disciples, Cleopas and the unnamed disciple. They talked together about all the things that had happened. Can you imagine what must have been going through their mind, what must have been going through their hearts at this time because of what took place in the crucifixion just 3 days prior? And then verse 15 says that as they were talking and as they were reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, that's exactly where you might be today. You may need Jesus to draw near to you. I want us to pause just for a moment, my friend, because that might be exactly where you are. You might say, that's why I've come on this Easter Sunday morning. That's why I'm here. I need a touch of Jesus. I need Jesus to draw near and you may be just like these two disciples. You may need Jesus to walk with you on your journey. Look at verse 16. It says that their eyes were held so that they were not able to recognize him at this moment. And then verse 17, I like this. You see, Jesus plays dumb about what had been going on. And he asked them to relate that to him. And so beginning with verse 18, Cleopas begins the discourse with him. And he starts out by saying, "Are you a stranger? Everyone in Jerusalem buzzing about this. The entire city's talking about this. You must be a stranger around here, not to have known what's really going on." And then verse 19, Jesus again inquires further so that he can find out more about what is on their heart. And then going down to verses 25 and 26, because Jesus really begins to pry into their hearts. And he says, "You are unwise and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now, let me stop there just for a moment and point something out to you. Jesus had not hidden anything from his disciples and from his apostles, had he? He had been very open with them. He had been very honest with them. He had spent 3 intense years with them, revealing himself to them, revealing who he was to them, revealing why he had come to them, revealing what he was all about, and revealing to them what was going to take place in Jerusalem. But I find it interesting that Jesus says to them, "You know, you're a little unwise about this whole situation." Now look at this. He doesn't say, "Because of what I have said to you, because of what I've been revealing for the last 3 years with my followers." He doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, "You're unwise, not giving heed to what the prophets have spoken about me." You know, those of us who are 21st century disciples, I'm not so sure that the same thing should be said to you and me. And then he poses the question in the last part of verse 26. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? You know, some would say that the crucifixion was just a grand gesture on God's part. But I want to say to you, my friend, that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was of the utmost necessity. If Jesus Christ did not die, your sins would not have been paid for. And consequently, God could not offer you his forgiveness. Some would say that the resurrection is not important. They would say that the important thing is that the principle of new life or the message of beginning again is what's paramount. But I want to say to you that if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, you and I could not be justified before God, and God could not and would not offer you everlasting life without the fact of the empty tomb. There is no meaning to the resurrection. There is no meaning to Easter, and there is no meaning to the gospel. The resurrection is the paramount principle of Christianity. The resurrection is the hinge of hope for the church. The resurrection is the fulcrum of faith for every believer. If Christ wasn't raised bodily and physically, then he himself was a failure. He said he would rise again, and he would be no different than any prophet or religious leader. If Christ wasn't raised and if the tomb was not empty, then we would have no authoritative word from God about life after death. The resurrection was the result of the miraculous divine power of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God hath raised from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The resurrection confirms the claims of Christ. The resurrection affirms the power of God. And the resurrection firms up your hope of everlasting life. Well, then, beginning in verse 27, Jesus begins to expound to them from the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Look what he says, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near into the village where they went. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And so he went in to tarry with them. And so they come near to Emmaus. And again, Jesus makes as though he was going to go further. They encourage him to come and to stay with them. And I want to contend to you that in verse 30, when he sat down and he took the bread and he blessed and he broke it and he gave it to them. Look at this. When it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, now look, follow what I'm saying. Look what I'm showing. It says that he took bread and he blessed it. Now watch this. And he gave it to them. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. I want to suggest to you that for the first time, they saw the reality of the nail prints in his hands. The nail prints are the only man-made thing in heaven today. And I want to encourage you on this Easter Sunday that you would see for yourself the prints of the nails in the hands of our crucified Christ, and that your eyes might be open and that you would respond to his loving outstretched arms of grace. Here's the third thing I want you to see. God opens the tomb, God opens their eyes, and number three, he opens their heart. Verse 32 says that they posed the question to each other, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us as we were walking and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" My friend, you need to open your heart today to the truth of the reality of who Jesus is and what he did. This is God come in the flesh. He came for one purpose, and that was to die on the cross of Calvary for you. This was God's scheme. This was God's design. This was God's plan from the beginning. God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son to be your savior. Now, we're living in a remarkable day today. I believe with all my heart that we are living in the latter days. That Jesus Christ is coming again in the clouds to rapture his church out of this world. And my friend, I want to say to you unequivocally today, you had better be ready. You'd better be ready. We're living in a day when more than any other time in history, people are searching for spiritual matters. And people are giving attention to spiritual things. Just in time for Easter, the headline on the cover of the latest issue of Newsweek magazine. You might want to stop and pick it up. Actually, I was amazed at how accurate this secular magazine has depicted Jesus Christ. Here's the title on the front page, front cover. How Jesus Became Christ. You'll probably be interested to pick it up. Now, the best-selling book in America right now is Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And news talk shows are talking about people's faith, and they're talking about religion, and they're talking about the Bible. I believe that more people than ever are claiming to be Christians. As a matter of fact, just in a recent poll that I read, more people than ever are claiming to be Christians. More people than ever are claiming to read the Bible. More people than ever are claiming to be in church. I believe that there is coming a time in the very near future when God is going to separate out the men from the boys spiritually. I believe this world is headed for a climactic event that will shake the very foundation of every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth. And you, my friend, had better be ready. And the way to get ready is for you to open up your heart. Do it today. Come to grips with who Jesus is and what he did. He is God come in the flesh. He died for the sins of all of mankind. He died for your sins. He is the only way to God. Without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. Without Jesus Christ, you have no entrance into heaven. Without Jesus Christ, you are not able to reach God. You and I had better get on the Emmaus Road today, and in our journey, we had better meet Jesus. Here's the last thing I want you to see. He opens the tomb, he opens their eyes, he opens their heart, and he opens their understanding. Now it says in verse 33 that they immediately rose up and returned to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 apostles gathered together with some of the other disciples. Then it says in verse 34 that together they made this declaration, "The Lord is risen indeed." Let's say that together. The Lord is risen indeed. Say it again. The Lord is risen indeed. One more time. The Lord is risen indeed. And then verse 35, Cleopas and the other disciple told about their encounter with Jesus Christ. All of these followers had come to the understanding, the Lord is risen indeed. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, told his congregation one day, quote, "Someday you will read in the papers that Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it? At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am right now." You see, that's because Jesus changed everything about life. And Jesus changed everything about death. I've told you frequently that if Jesus is a dead Savior, he is no Savior at all. But Jesus is not dead. And because of that, you can be born again and have everlasting life. And consequently, you shall never die. Look what it says in John chapter 11. These are the words of Jesus. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, I like this question that's posed there in the last part of verse 26. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? That's the question of Easter. Have you met the resurrected Christ on your spiritual journey? God opens the tomb. He opens their eyes. He opens their heart. And he opens their understanding to the fact that Jesus is risen indeed. Do you believe this? Let me pray with you, please. Father, thank you for a glorious celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thank you most of all for the fact that Jesus is risen indeed, and thus providing for us our justification, thus providing for us your offer of everlasting life, thus providing for us the hope of heaven. Thank you for the resurrection of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.